And now we go back to the news.
I am afraid that our last batch of news stories will not cheer anyone up. There were a lot of stories about crime this week. Norwich men were amongst 12 arrested in a County Lyons drug-dealing crackdown. There were several reports of spiking drinks in city clubs. Trading Standards provided new warnings about current scams in Norfolk. And Norwich City lost disastrously to Chelsea. We have one story about the match and another about the manager, Daniel Farker.
Police have arrested 12 people as part of a week of action focusing on County Lyons drug dealing in Norfolk. The Norfolk Police's County Lyons team, along with neighbourhood policing teams across the county and the British Transport Police, took part in a national week of action against County Lyons drug dealing between Monday, October the 11th and Sunday, October the 17th. Officers attended addresses in Norwich and King's Lynn, arresting people on suspicion of possession with intent to supply Class A drugs. A further four people were arrested at two separate addresses in Horsford and Norwich on suspicion of the supply of Class A drugs and human trafficking. Elsewhere in Norwich, two men in their 20s, a man in his 40s and a woman in her 40s, were arrested on suspicion of involvement in the supply of Class A drugs and human trafficking. Police also stopped a car in Thetford and seized large amounts of cash, cigarettes and a knife. A man in his 60s and a woman in her 30s were arrested on suspicion of money laundering. One person has been released on police bail pending further inquiries, while all other people arrested have been released under investigation and inquiries are ongoing. The aim of the week was to disrupt the activities of those involved in County Lyons through a number of policing tactics, and it was jointly run by the National Police Chiefs Council and the National Crime Agency. County Lyons is the name given to a drug-dealing model which involves criminals using phone lines to facilitate the supply of Class A drugs, normally between a major city and another county. Detective Chief Inspector Sonia Humphreys, County Lyons lead for Norfolk Constabulary, said, "Our action last week demonstrates the strength of partnership work in tackling this issue. Together with the support of the public and our partners, we are able to confront head-on the supply of drugs and the exploitative actions that surround this type of crime."
Last weekend, 8 people were either injected with drugs or had their drinks spiked. No one should ever be too scared to go to a bar. But so far, there have been no arrests, and it seems the police have little to go on. The advice is look out for each other. That is not going to quell the fear in our streets. The police need a plan, and they need one fast. This weekend, Clubland should be flooded with officers. Go and catch one of these monsters. And when someone is found guilty, the evening news will print their name and do everything in our power to have a picture released. These crimes must follow the perpetrators around, just like they will haunt the victims. Since the recent spate began, we have heard lots of advice dished out on how to avoid getting spiked. Here's some better advice, so take note. Don't spike people's drinks.
From fake DVLA texts to WhatsApp messages pretending to be from a family member, here are some scams to be aware of which are currently being used in Norfolk. WhatsApp messages from a family member. Trading Standards is warning families to be aware of WhatsApp messages where scammers attempt to impersonate family members to steal money. A Norfolk resident contacted BBC Radio Norfolk after receiving a WhatsApp message which said, "Hello, Mum. Just changed my number so you can contact me from here now so you can save it and delete my old number." Believing it to be her daughter, the woman changed the number in her phone. The following day, she received further messages via WhatsApp saying that due to having the new phone, she couldn't access her bank account and needed to pay an invoice for £1,500. The woman became more suspicious and contacted her daughter via her original number to find out more, and the daughter knew nothing about it and hadn't changed her number at all. Trading Standards advises that people should always be suspicious of messages such as these, especially if a request for money is involved. It also says people should try and contact the person who the message claims to be from via another known number or method. Another scam operating in Norfolk sees text messages circulating claiming to be from the DVLA. One recent example states, DVLA, we recalculated £48.84 is due, followed by a link to claim your refund. But the text is not from the DVLA, and any links contained within the email are likely to go to a genuine-looking fake version of the DVLA website, which will attempt to gather personal and financial details. Trading Standards advises to always be wary of claims made in unexpected text messages and never click on links or open attachments if approached in this way. Messages can be reported via the Citizens Advice Consumer Helpline on free phone 0808 223 1133.
If Norwich City players do not believe, why should anyone else? What unfolded at Chelsea in front of a global television audience left the Canaries a laughing stock. It was not the gulf in class that one might reasonably expect to be the case. It was the lack of belief, the absence of any intensity or any real desire to push the Blues out of their nonchalant stride. City's dire display was abject enough, but Daniel Farke's brutally honest post-match admission that perhaps some of his players were dazzled by Chelsea's star appeal should cut much deeper than the lacerations from the club's record-equalling top-flight loss. When the Canaries pulled off that stunning win over Manchester City two seasons ago, those who matter at Carrow Road saw it as less a result that needed to reverberate around the globe than the natural evolution of a club competing in the same league. If it had now truly reached a stage too many in green and yellow do not believe they deserve to be on the same pitch as the best, then this transcends Farke's job status. As bad as it feels right now to be associated with Norwich City, there is no sense from inside the corridors of power his time has run its course, or any moves in that direction. But the clock is surely ticking. This cannot go on. Farke's willingness to suspend, if not abandon, his attacking philosophy in the pursuit of Premier League progress engineered goalless affairs against Burnley and Brighton. But if that renewed focus on defensive solidarity can be dismantled so dismissively, albeit by one of the best club sides in Europe at present, then the City coach leaves himself exposed. His Norwich remain pitifully anemic in their creative urgings. How Farke now pivots for a match up against a Leeds side struggling at the wrong end of the table could define his future, and that of City's bid for Premier League consolidation. The stake could not be any higher. Fueled by the dross offered at Stamford Bridge and a winless run that, depending on how charitable you feel, extends deep into the previous top-flight quest under Farke. If this is truly the end game, then he would be better advised considering unleashing the likes of Christos Tsolis or Milo Rashica from the start. There must be a middle ground that does not sacrifice attacking potency on the altar of a search for defensive soundness. He had singularly failed to find it, and what unfolded at Stamford Bridge illustrated how fragile the foundations remain. City's midfield trio got nowhere near Jorginho or Mateo Kovac. Mathias Norman, Pierre Lees-Mello and Kenny McLean as a collective were seemingly unable to judge the distance or close the spaces. Chelsea needed little invitation to establish a bridgehead deep in Norwich territory, and then it was simply a case of waiting for a mistake or gently depressing the accelerator. Chelsea were deadly, but against inferior opponents who compliantly rolled over. For any who think the scale of such toxicity is an overreaction to the one-off hammering at the Blues, think again. Farca highlighted in the build-up that his squad faced arguably the toughest test in the world football. His fan base do not wish to hear such sentiments anymore. They know the scale of the challenge. They want to hear how Norwich attempts to bridge the divide. The head coach called for an aggressiveness and a fire in response to this mauling against the Premier League leaders ahead of Sunday's duel against Leeds. Where was it at Chelsea, apart from Ben Gibson's rush of blood, which merely contributed to the margin of a victory that was never seriously in doubt once Callum Hudson-Odoi doubled the host's lead? City had scored one goal in open play all season in the Premier League. Did anyone seriously think they could muster two in a game? That is the problem. They are confirming all the worst fears and sneering predictions from further afield. They are an easy target to hit. Some already label this group one of the poorest Premier League teams in history. But more damaging than the barbs outside the camp is a sense such negativity and self-doubt has seeped inside the bubble. What other conclusions can one draw from the speed they raise the white flag? This is on Farca now. There needs to be a renewed urgency and a desperation from the top down before it's too late.
Well, Daniel Farca knows he's gone from hero to zero, in the eyes of some Norwich City fans at least, after a wretched Premier League opening capped by a seven-goal mauling at Chelsea. Rock-bottom City's lack of goals and wins is a long way from the praise lavished on Farca for landing a second championship title in record-breaking fashion. When you are praised so much in the good times, it can be difficult to keep the feet grounded, and then 2 weeks later it could be the rotten tomatoes are being thrown, he said. It's difficult. It's never easy. You have to be careful not to be addicted to the judgments and the view of the outside world, or read too much, and especially not social media, because otherwise you think you're a superhero with some magic skills, and then a clown, and you have no clue. We are all human beings, not robots. If you want to work in this privileged role, and the Premier League is the best league in the world, there are just 20 jobs as manager. The whole coaching world would like to work in these roles. The criticism and the spotlight are inevitable. It's never easy to deal with the situation or the pressure, but that's what you have to do if you want to work in this business. Farca admits trying to keep Norwich at the top table of the English game is all-consuming. If you want to work in this job, you have to be almost a workaholic, he said. If you're not going to work unbelievably hard and intense, and if you're not always thinking about the small details, then you will not be good enough to work on this level. You have to invest totally. When you are really privileged to do this job, you cannot simply take all the benefits. Football is a job we can earn money, lots of money, but with this comes pressure. And sometimes it is not easy when you're always in the spotlight and you don't have much private life. Last season, we played the best season in the history of Norwich City Football Club. We were the champions, and maybe they were close to building a statue. And then you lose some games in the Premier League, and you have to answer all these questions.
That's just about it for this week. Remember, we are always pleased to hear from you and to pass on news to other listeners. You can leave your message on our answer phone at the Chatterbox office on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365, and we will call you back as soon as we can. And remember, you can find us on our website, cbtn.org.uk. That's cbtn.org.uk. Please return to us your Chatterbox recording. Put it in the wallet and pop this in the postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn over the address label. Please remember that after this recording of Chatterbox, you can listen to Norfolk Magazine.
So we hope you've enjoyed this week's Chatterbox, and our thanks go to the team who produced it. Our editor tonight was David Potten. The sound recordist was Peter Murch. All the items were taken from the evening news, but Chatterbox accepts responsibility for the contents of this recording. So, until next week, from the Chatterbox team and from me, John Francis,
and Marianne Penn,
it's goodbye.